Good morning. I'm sorry. Brock said we should be good for now. So would you join me in prayer? Father, we come before you today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you, Lord, and to hear from your word. We have gathered, Lord, here because we love you, and we just want more, Lord, just more of you. So open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us. Guide us, strengthen us, be with us. And Lord, we do thank you for your provision and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. In front of you, in the chair in front of you, you'll find little white cards, and there should be pencils there. If you have a prayer request, please fill that out and get ready to pass it to the middle, and we will collect these here in a few minutes. But if you have a prayer request, fill that out, and then we will take and place it up here. Then someone will come up, or you can come up, get one of the cards, and take it home to pray over it throughout the week. And then, like I said, they'll also be put online so we can have those prayer requests. Are there any other announcements for writing off the bat? Bonnie, I have a couple later. I'm going to keep it. There it goes. Maybe there's a problem in the wiring or a problem with the wired. Either way. James 1:26 says this, and we're looking at James, so if you want to open up to James. 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, last week, we looked at judging others. That a heart that condemns is one that is still prideful, and it's seeking to make itself look better when it compares how good it is to how bad they are. Right? We are not to judge in the way of condemnation. We're not to condemn anyone, but we are to analyze and evaluate or decide in the way of judgment. It's not ours to condemn. We are to remove the log in our own eyes before we remove the speck in another's. In other words, we are to evaluate and judge ourselves first before we try to remove that speck from another person's eyes, before we judge others. In all this, we must remember that the heart is deceitful and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's what we're told, right? The heart will deceive you into believing that you have the right to condemn, to slanderously judge with extreme prejudice because you're better than they are. But that's not how it is. We need to be watchful. We must be watchful that this doesn't start taking place, that finds a root to grow, a place to grow in our hearts. Romans 14, verses 4 and then 10 through 13. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. No one stands on their own works. Right? God helps us to rise above the pettiness of pridefulness and all that. Verses 10 through 13. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. We should go to them when we see that they may be sinning, that they have fallen short. We come alongside them and help them. And if someone has fallen into sin and refuses to repent, yes, that's when we need to point that out to them and possibly take disciplinary action. There is only one lawgiver and judge, 4:12.
James 4:12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, destroyed, but who are we to, who are you to judge your neighbor? It's not working again.
Yeah, it's all right. We'll make it work. Maybe it's not tight down in there. Brock will fix it. I have great faith. Three things that we need to be watchful for. We looked at pride last week. If I keep my head up, maybe it'll keep doing this. I don't know what's going on. Trade or make profit. That's where it leaves us off. Like, what? This is what I'm planning to do. How do you know
with certainty what will happen 2 weeks from now, or 2 days from now, or 2 hours from now? How do you know that with certainty?
I'll hold it. Well, it'll pick up better this way. You might get it double. I'm not going to say another word. How do we know what's going to happen? We don't even know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now, let alone a year, right? None of us can ever be 100% sure of what the future holds for ourselves or for anyone else. Keep that in mind. We can think we know based on experience and knowledge, but we do not know what the future holds. Any one of us might not make it home today, especially if you get on 94. There's always that possibility, right? The sin of presumption, of scheming to get rich, is the laying out of plans in assurance of success that places faith in our own abilities and not in God's blessings. It is prideful arrogance to state what we will do and how it will happen, like time is on our side, like we own time. It's our disposal. Tomorrow may never happen. We prayed about this this morning when we were praying in the back. We're thankful for today that God opened our eyes for today. Life is fragile. People make plans and never have the chance to fulfill them. You just don't know. My friend Harry celebrated his 40th birthday Christmas Day. 2 days later, he was in the hospital. Unconscious and in a coma. A toothache. An abscess exploded in his brain from his tooth. You know, we talked about this in class today. We're just going to put it off. It's not that important. It's just a toothache. It's just a little pain in my chest or my arm or go on. And we put things off. None of us knows. We buried Harry 3 days before New Year's. Over 800 people came to that funeral because they didn't know. And I'm sure that God used that to get a lot of them to go to the dentist, because he works all things to the good of those who love him. Dental abscess. Our hearts tell us that we will be successful if we want, that we can do it if we just try. We say to our kids all the time, right? We say this, you can do anything you put your mind to. And you need to wholeheartedly pursue that. You can do it. That is very worldly. I want you to know that. very worldly. Life is not your right. Your choice is not the only deciding factor in what is going to take place from here on in. You can be the best driver in the world, obey every law that's out there, and some other person can end all that by simply going the wrong direction on the highway, by crossing those double yellow lines, by not going to the dentist. You do not have, in and of yourselves, all that is needed to be successful in God's eyes. Maybe in the world's eyes for a short period of time, but not in God's eyes. Making money, having possessions, and doing well by the standards of the world are not the sole purpose of your life. Money will not buy joy or meaning to your life or in your life. The person here in verse 13 is planning about next year and all that he will accomplish. Yet you do not even know about tomorrow. That fact should keep us humble before the Lord. In the grand scheme of things, you are just a mist, a vapor that appears for a little bit of time and then vanishes. 50 or 60 years from now, will they even remember what you accomplished, the houses you built, the money you had? Are you, being Christians, dependent on God, or are you independent, going your own way? Is it the Lord's will, or do you not take Him into account? Do you not take Him into account? And what I mean by that is, are you adding Him in to what you're planning? Are you adding God in? Are you taking Him into account in all things? Christians understand that we do not have full power over our lives and futures. We cannot let our hearts or our egos deceive us into believing that we can, in and of ourselves, control our tomorrows. You cannot, being Christians, put your lives into God's hands on Sundays and then look at Monday through Saturdays as yours, fulfilling them or filling them with self-sufficient and self-important planning. And we all can all fall into that trap very easily. That's presumptuous. Now I want you to understand this. We're not being told here to quit planning, but to keep self and ego in check when we're doing so, right? When we are planning. Being Christians, we willingly put all our tomorrows, our lives, into His hands. We are not presumptuous, nor do we fret and stew over tomorrow. Let me say that last one again. We don't fret and stew, worry, be anxious about tomorrow. Matthew 6, and I have it marked. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you not to be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then I'm going to jump down to 31. You can read all of that later. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, those outside of Christ, for us, right? The Gentiles Seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is not a prosperity gospel. All these things are yours in the kingdom, so you have to seek it first. Going on, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is the trouble of is its own trouble. I don't need to worry about tomorrow's troubles. I got enough today, right? We need to put that aside. Are we seeking first the kingdom when we plan and scheme for worldly gain? Are we seeking first the kingdom when we plan and scheme for worldly gain? And what if we did gain worldly wealth and possessions? Are we going to build bigger barns? Luke tells us, look at that. Luke tells us in Luke 12, and Jesus told them a parable saying, the land of the rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And then I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Build bigger barns. There is not one of us, and I can't say this enough, that is promised tomorrow. But we cannot live in constant fear of death. There's a tension there. The wisdom of the world, and we talked about this morning in class, the wisdom of the world tells us to deny death. And we do everything we can to do so. No offense, ladies. Makeup, creams, and Botox to hide the effects of aging. We look to medical miracles that manage to prolong lives and deny death a little longer. And we make plans as if we're going to live forever. But we need to face facts. We need to face facts. Every one of us will face death. I told the class this morning, there's a 100% mortality rate in human beings. Even Jesus died. Rose again, but he died. But again, that does not mean we cease to make plans or to enjoy the life that we now have. We just shouldn't be prideful in what we say we're going to accomplish. You did notice that we're still talking about boasting with our words, right? What does it say? Come now, you who say. He's talking about boasting with our words again. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. This tells you exactly where people are putting their trust, where they're putting their faith when they start boasting. What's in the heart, like I said, comes out of the mouth. It is the sin of presumption that can trip us up if we're not watchful as we wholeheartedly follow God. Follow Christ. And I tell you, I struggle to believe that there is such thing as a half-hearted Christian, a lukewarm, a fence sitter, a service attender. A service attender is no more secure in their salvation than the plans made here out of pride. For you do not know the time of your demise any more than you know or you can tell me when Christ is coming back. I just know that he is. The thing we need to do, being Christians, is to be ready, right? We need to take to heart that what we are being instructed here in James. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verses 33 through 37, be on guard, keep awake. Be watchful, right? Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work. And he commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. And if you've ever had chickens, those roosters crow 24/7. Oh my. In the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Unalert, not watchful. And what I say to all as well. Stay awake. Jesus is telling us, stay awake, be alert. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Romans 2, 4 through 6 tells us this. For pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. Instead, we ought to say, if the Lord wills. Which is completely contrary to worldly wisdom, which states that you are the center of life. You're your own person. At the local mall in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when we used to go there, there were these signs that hung all over the place as you walk through it. It's all about you. It's all about you. Your wants, your desires, your passion. Put yourself first is promoted in the world, taught in our schools, fed by the media, and I'm talking advertisements. It's also fed by our politicians. You first. Yet God's word tells us to deny self, to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, and to follow Christ. Now, if God wants what's best for us, and you know this, why are you listening to the world? Crucify the flesh. Pride has to go. Ego. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Ego has been crucified with Christ. Do we believe that we need to do the same? Yes. We are called to do that. Verse 17 starts in most translations with therefore or so. I don't know how yours is saying it. Mine says so. And that relates, that should tell us that it relates back to what was already said, right? So we know, therefore. So right now, you now know the right thing to do. You now know the right thing to do. And if not, go read and apply what we have looked at so far in this letter. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James tells us that. The Holy Spirit speaking through James. Are you a doer of the word or is your heart deceiving you? If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. What is God's will for you now, today? What is God calling you to do or be? Don't let your heart deceive you. You're not promised tomorrow. Do not put off the good you know you ought to do. Do not fail to do the right thing, to cover both or all the translations that I could find. For willfully not doing God's will is presumptuous sin. You're presuming on God, right? Or do you presume on the riches and kindness, as I read to you from Romans 2? God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, to turn away, right? When you repent, you turn from something to something else. When you are saved, you're saved from something to something else, or to someone else in this case. His grace, and I'm going to start to close up with this. His grace is not a license to sin. Romans chapter 6, which I also have marked and opened right to it. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Verses 1 through 4. Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alive to God, sanctified unto the Lord, his. Pride has to go. Pride in our speech. Pride in our planning. Are you including God in your plans? That's what we need to look at for today. We need to make sure we're not pridefully speaking and pridefully planning. And I'll warn you, next week we're going to look at covetousness. So, I want to close with this invitation. That God would, you would come and pray that God would watch over you and your heart so that pride will stay out in every form. And maybe you know somebody that needs that prayer. You can come pray for them. So if you're praying for yourself, nobody really knows now. So come and pray. Praise team's going to come up. I'm going to pray. And you're invited to come and pray that God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Would you join me? Stand and join me in prayer. Father, we are truly grateful for your love and mercies, for the grace you so freely give. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that guides us and tells us. We're thankful, Lord, that you have been so blunt through this letter of James, that you call us to be not hearers, Lord, but doers of the word. Help us to be watchful, to stay awake, to be on alert for those things, Lord, that could draw us away, that could tempt us to be prideful. And we ask this and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This is on. There we go. I am truly blessed. We are blessed. I am counting my three blessings this morning. And all the blessings they bring. But we have to remember to watch that pride doesn't creep into us. To be aware and watchful. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, thanking him for this time together and thanking him for the food we're about to partake in. Would you join me? Father, we do come before you and give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many blessings you give us, for your provision, for you watching over us, for you are with us, you are for us, Lord, and you watch over us each and every day, guiding us, Lord, as we seek to follow you. I pray, Lord, that you would remove any pride that has crept in, that you would keep our hearts from being prideful and it moving to our lips, Lord, especially. We thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship and the food we're about to partake in, and we give you praise for this day in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.